Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Well, good afternoon, folks. My name is Bob Oakley, and I'm your host today for the talk radio show for Hope. And we have this show every day at noon to give people hope in their lives. And our motto is helping people by helping them to help other people. And it's what we do. It's what we're all about. And that particular song that you may have heard when I first turned on the show this morning was Mary's Daughter. Mary asked her to record that song, and I thought it was appropriate to play that today to kick off the show. So thank you, Mary, and thank you, Mary's Daughter, and your daughter. And I'm just very pleased to talk about the family unit and what it is, how we are involved with people and with their families. We have many programs that are used to help people in any situations they have in their life, whether it's in education, whether it's a spiritual need, whether it's housing, whether it's financial need, health and wellness, and clean air and water, and many other programs that are connected with those main topics. There's eight main areas that we believe touches on just about every aspect of people's lives, and we have programs to help people in those areas, and we have coaches and counselors to help people in those areas also. And an example is a friend of mine, a young woman from Colombia, South America, and she was trying to go through college, and she was struggling with writing compositions in some of her classes. So I agreed to help her with that, and I've been working with her now for about a year and a half. Whenever she has an assignment that requires a written composition, I help her with it, because in the Spanish language, they don't use punctuation like we use it in the English language, and many of the words from the Spanish are not translatable to directly to English. So those are the areas that I was helping her with, and I'm continuing to help her whenever she needs it. But she has progressed tremendously in her education, and she's doing much better on her own now. So I'm happy that I was able to help her. And that just gives you one area where we help people. This young lady that I was helping, she's married, and her husband are very good friends of mine, and they have children, and she's currently pregnant to have another child, it's just a good feeling for me, and I get a lot of personal satisfaction of helping people like that. Another area I was helping people with was in the area of learning the English language. Immigrants that come into this country, many of them don't speak the English language. they only speak English, or I mean, they only speak Spanish or some other language that they from the country where they come from. And so we're helping them. It's another project that I'm involved with. We're helping families, as a matter of fact, of people. And I got started in this through a Spanish ministry that I belong to in my church. And I met a number of people that were hoping and wishing that they could speak the English language, but they couldn't. So I said, well, would you like to learn it? And they said, yes. So we started a program where we could meet in their homes and teach the whole family and any of their friends that they invited in about the English language. And we did that for a number of years until COVID hit, and we had to stop it because the Spanish people that I was working with, I was working with six different families at that time. They refused to continue the sessions, learning the English language until things were resolved with COVID, and so that's starting up again, and we're still doing that, and I'm inviting more people to get involved in it from the Spanish ministry. That's just another area that we're working in, and many people are working in other areas. We have programs to help veterans, several programs to help veterans, as a matter of fact, and other first responders, like police officers and EMS people and so forth. We have programs to help them in whatever areas that they need help in. Many of them are looking for additional education or looking for certifications, and we have programs for that also to help people. And so I'm very happy, and I feel very blessed from the Lord that He's put me in a position to do these kinds of things to help people, and He's given me other people that I'm working with that also are helping people. And one of them is Mary that I just mentioned when I started the show. And her daughter was singing the tune that we opened the show with today. Mary, how are you?
Good, but cold.
Great.
How
so
about you?
To hear your voice. Oh, I'm doing off the charts. Dr. Joel Griffin used to always say that. He's off the charts, but he'd always say, but I'm off the top of the charts, not the bottom. So anyway, it was good to have your daughter open the show today with that tune. And I thought it was appropriate to do that today, so that's why I did it. And I know you weren't on yet at that time, but I went ahead and did it, and I'm just excited about this time of year. This time of year is what, to me, is one of the most blessed times of the year for families. Families get together and they share things a lot, and they give each other gifts, and they worship together during this time, and it's really to me, one of the greatest times of the year, and I'm being a Christian. It's really a very special time for me, because it gives us an opportunity to honor our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His birthday, and that's what Christmas is all about. I believe is honoring Christ and renewing renewing our commitment to Him, and that's what it's all about. And I think you would agree with that, right, Mary?
I agree 100%. And I just wish that we didn't do it collectively. You know, like a cult collection, we do it all year round, but the mass majority of people only do it during Christmas.
Yep. It's you continually amaze me on things that you're doing to help people, and things you're doing to help us with the Hope Collection and making it easier and more effective in helping people. The whole Optimize My Life and Hope Collection and the radio show and all of that is being upgraded, and you're taking an excellent role in that effort to help that get done. And I really appreciate what you're doing. And I was hoping, I think I mentioned it to you yesterday on your show. By the way, Mary hosts the show on Wednesday. And so I mentioned that I'd like you to maybe give us an update on what some of the new things are that you've helped to develop and get implemented into the Hope Collection.
All right. And well, we are on all social. Go ahead. So, for one, we're on all social media channels. Two, we're on all podcasting, the major ones, iHeart, Audible, Amazon, Spotify, Google. Coming up this spring, we got approved through Roku as a partnership to have a channel on the Roku. And I'm working with a company that's going to help me set it all up because I don't understand all the programming stuff. And so we will not only be on the computer and on your phones, but you'll be on our TVs too. And we're working on setting up some programming so we can live stream and do video along with.
Wow. That's going to be on YouTube?
Audio.
Wow.
We have a YouTube channel. I'm still working on getting everything upgraded and transferred over. But it'll be like on your TVs. You have like Google or you have like we use Roku boxes. So it's basically like instant TV. Well, Roku has their own channel and they opened up the source so that people who can make their own channels.
Wow.
And so we're going to have a channel on the Roku, I put in an application to have it on Apple TV too.
Amazing. I'm so happy that you know how to do all that.
I don't. I know people that know how to do all that.
Well, see, that's the way we do. That's the way we approach the Hope Collection, by the way. I want to mention that. It's not just one person doing all this. It's a whole team effort. And people on a team that have different skills and have different contacts, they can help us to get things done faster and more efficiently, and make them work. And that's how we work with people also, the same way. We don't do it all ourselves. We have a team effort that we work with people on. And if someone has an issue that they're dealing with in their life, and maybe I can't handle it or you can't handle it, then we call someone else in to help them in that area. And I think that only makes sense to do it that way because we're not dependent on just one person. We're depending on, we have the whole team to help us. I think you would agree completely with that, right, Mary?
I agree. And two, if you spread yourself so thin doing 5 million different things at once, you're not going to do anything successfully. You're only going to do everything half.
Oh, my gosh, that's so true. And I, you know, that's something that I used to always tell my children. I said, it doesn't really matter what you want to be in your life when you grow up. I said, but the important thing is if you make a decision that you want to be a doctor, then focus on that and let your whole area of expertise be in that area and maybe get involved in a doctor's practice and learn for sure if that's something you really want to do and then get the education you need. And keep moving forward. And I've encouraged my kids to do that every single one of them. And they all have different careers. And it's because they all had different ideas of what they wanted to do when they grew up. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And they didn't do it alone, by the way. They did it by getting the help that they needed to get it done. If it was education, if it was learning about the career that they chose, and getting firsthand knowledge about it by actually doing it, and getting experience in it. So it makes a lot of sense to do it that way. And I've found that of my children, it's I have a large family. Previously 9, now I have 11 children since I remarried, and my wife has two daughters. So, they're all the same. They all don't have the same motivation. They all don't have the same desire. They all don't have the same ideas of what they want to be when they grow up. So as a result, we have many different occupations in our family that have resulted of that. And I think you experience the same thing yourself, Mary, right? Because you have children too. Is that right?
Yeah, and you know the biggest thing that I have two little we call them monsters, because it's not a bad thing. They're very creative and very imaginative. Like last night, it was so funny because my son, they're both autistic, so sometimes sleep is something they don't do well some days, depending on what's going on. And Christmas throws them off because schedules are different, and we've got weather issues going on right now where blizzard warnings and stuff. So my husband fell asleep out in the garage, which is the man cave. It's got a TV and the video game system out here. It's where the kids go and play. And he snores. So my son's running through the house, and he comes and grabs me and covers my mouth and goes, "Shh, we're hunting bear," like in the old Looney Tunes.
Yep.
And he points to dad, dad's the bear. And then he yells, "Run," and turns around and runs back in the house.
Yep. It amazes me to watch children grow up and to see how they can learn things from other children, and learn things from their teachers, and learn things from their parents, and it's just to see them grow and to develop into whatever it is that they feel that they want to be when they grow up. And I just think it's a beautiful thing that happens, that God has given us the ability to do that. He's given us the ability to think and to make decisions and to believe and to act upon what it is that He's put in our minds to do. And many of those things come from God. So I give God the credit for everything, because we are just humans and we have limitations, but God has no limitation, and He can with God on our side, all things are possible. And so He's there to help us with whatever we need, and to encourage us and to guide us. So I'm really happy for the things that you talked about that are coming into realization. And you know, on your show yesterday, we talked about imagination and how that affects people's lives, especially young children. They have great, tremendous imaginations, and they come up with things. Sometimes I have to laugh at when they come up with things. My wife's youngest granddaughter, at least right now it is, she is 5 years old now, and she is just growing tremendously for the 2 or 3 years that I've known her now. It's great to see them develop when they first, maybe they're 2 years old, maybe they're not speaking much yet at that time because they haven't learned the language. But then a year later or 2 years later, they're talking like crazy because they know the language now, and they know how to use it. They may not use it perfectly, but they're talking, and you're able to communicate with them. and it just comes so quickly, and they grow up so fast. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. And that, too, is not just one person causing that to happen. First of all, it comes from God. And then secondly, it comes from maybe the one parent or both parents are working with them. Or maybe it's a friend of the family, maybe a babysitter, or maybe a school teacher. It all comes from all of them working and helping those individual children to learn. And I've often thought about the school teachers and the responsibility they have for helping to raise children and to help them with their education. And it's something that I thought I'd never want to be. I'd never want to be a teacher. But as it so happens, I've been teaching all my life. I've been coaching and teaching people, not only young people, but older people as well. It's interesting that never was something that I thought I'd want to be, but I do. I do teach every day. I teach people, and I work with them and help them. And that's by the way, is how you can help a person. They may want to do something in their life, but they don't know exactly how to get started or what steps they should take first. And that's where we can help them as coaches, as life coaches, or just coaching regular coaches. Helping them to understand the steps that it takes to accomplish something, and what they have to do when they run into an area where they can't resolve it, and we're there to help them to do that. And that's one of the big things that the Hope Collection does for people. And we do that through various programs that we have available. And we do that through various meetings and things like this radio show and so forth. So we have the tools available to us. Dr. Joel Griffin, the founder of the Hope Collection, has developed over the years to help people. Dr. Joel Griffin has gone on to a greater life in heaven, I believe. But we're still working based on things that he had a visionary. He was a visionary, and he had a vision of the various things that could be that would help us to help other people. And that's what we're doing. We're using a lot of those tools. Many of them are being upgraded right now because the technology has changed so much. So that's one reason we're upgrading them. And I am just happy grateful that people like you, Mary, and other people that are helping to make this whole effort work better and work more efficiently and it can be used to help more people every day. And it is growing, and I'm so happy for that. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Mary?
Well, you're talking about imagination. You know, that's the one thing kids in this day and age right now are lacking. You know, as parents, a lot of us give our kids electronics from a young age to keep them entertained. But, yep. You know, what I've found is they can have it, but regulate it. So, kids who have that imagination are more independent.
Yep.
They're more self-entertained without all the other fancy stuff, but they also develop that higher self-esteem and that higher self-worth when they're young, as opposed to needing artificial stimulation.
Yep. Many times when someone has an idea on something that they want to implement, other people hear about that. They say, oh, you can't do that, or this is not possible. It's like the airplane when it was first envisioned by some men who were had great imaginations and were great dreamers. They thought about building a machine that would a man could fly in, and a lot of people said, "Oh, that'll never happen," you know. Well, it did happen, and it's progressed to a great deal, and now we're building spaceships to go out into space and discover other worlds. And it's amazing. I like to watch the NASA channel, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, because they talk about all the things that are being developed for the future, things that they're going to have a manned space flight to the moon, and they're going to set up a docking place on the moon where people can live, and then use that as a place to shoot off to other further planets and stuff. And Mars, I guess, is one of the next targets after the moon. And so and it all starts with an imagination, like you said, and a vision and a dream. And that's what Dr. Joel Griffin had. He was a great visionary. And I believe a lot of that comes from, in fact, so much of that comes from the good Lord giving people a vision and giving them faith, that giving us faith that we can believe and achieve things. So it all gets back to God Almighty. You know, do you agree with that, Mary?
I do. You know, we watch. My son is so into space right now. He's actually getting a STEM lab kit for that. You can build your own mini space station that works, where you can make sounds and stuff like that. And his big question, and it drives me crazy because it's the one thing I can't answer, is, you know, he doesn't understand why space is so noisy if there's nobody in space. Because when you watch NASA on TV, you can hear the set, you can hear everything that's going on.
Well, planets make noise. You know, even if there's no inhabitants on the planets still make noise. They have storms, and those storms create noise. They have volcanoes, and they have hurricanes, all that kind of stuff on other planets, and the noise is there, and when a new star is born, that makes noise. It makes a lot of noise, and that happens all the time in the universe. It amazes me how big our universe actually is, and we don't really know yet how big it is. But the scientists are finding out with new tools now, like telescopes and so forth, they can find out that how expansive it is at this point. It never was envisioned to be as big as it is, but it's bigger than anybody ever thought it was going to be. And they haven't even calculated how big it is, you know, but but we're finding out more and more. And some people will say, well, we're the only life on the universe. We're only life, the only human beings, and I don't believe that. I believe that God planted other human beings and other planets around the universe, and I believe that someday we may know, probably not in my lifetime, but someday we may know that there is life on other planets. I think that that's an area that I always was fascinated by space as well, and I always thought about traveling into space. But at my age now, I know that I will probably never accomplish that goal. It still fascinates me, and I love flying in an airplane I've taken hundreds of trips on airplanes, and I love doing that also, even small planes and big planes. So that's just something I've done over my lifetime because my job required it in most cases. And when I wanted to travel somewhere personal, many times it would require flying. So anyway, I just want to mention a little bit about the fact that it's been well documented that Jesus Christ came down to the earth, that God sent his only son down to teach us and to guide us and to help us and to give us salvation. But there's still, you know, there's still people that don't believe in that. They don't believe that that happened. They think it's all fiction. Well, I'm one that has tremendous faith that I do believe it. And I believe that faith comes from belief, believing in God. He gives us faith. And it works through the family. You know, not every family member that we have has faith in God. But I, you know, my father, and I know my father was a tremendous man and he did great things for his family, but he was not a believer. He was not a believer in God. And he, but you know, he did things that showed me that he did believe, even though he wouldn't admit it. Even to the day he died, he wouldn't admit it. And he was never someone that would say to you, "I love you, Bob," as being his son. He never would say that to me until near the very end of his life. I coached him for years. I always said, "I love you, Dad," every time I would see him. And I coached him for years to try to get him to say, "I love you, Bob." And my two brothers are the same way. He wouldn't say anything to them about that. "I love you." Well, near the end, he finally did it, and he broke down when he did it. He broke down in tears, and it was just such a great experience. And I felt that the good Lord moved him, even though he didn't believe in the good Lord. The good Lord moved him to admit that he did love us, and he was proud of us, and he would
Mommy, you know it's my
give
dad.
Us, give us a hug, you know. Yeah, go ahead, Mary.
Sorry, my daughter had asked me where her pad was. You know, I went through the same thing growing up. You know, it was all lovey-dovey. You had all that support when you're little, and then when you hit a certain age, it was like, well, we don't need it anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, my grandma was the same way. You didn't get hugs or kisses, or we always thought it was just a German thing, or, you know, the I love yous, you know, a lot through my teenage years until I left for boot camp in the military.
Yeah. And the other regard of it, I mean, the other aspect of it is my mother. She was a very loving woman, and she would always hug us and tell us she loved us. And I think that's where I got it from, is from my mom. And because my dad certainly didn't teach us that we should love each other and love our parents and love God, because he didn't believe, you know. And so it was not possible for him to say that. Until later on, when he was near the end of his life here on Earth, that's just one incident that I came to my mind as we were talking here, and so I believe because my mother believed, and I believe because I was brought up with the Christian faith and went through in the Catholic Church. You go through the sacraments of First Communion and baptism and all the different sacraments that you go through. And then the So I was raised that way by my mother, and she wanted us to believe. And then when I got married, my wife and I talked about it, and I wanted my children to go through all the necessary steps to become a true, including confirmation, which is the last step in a child's development. And they all did. But I told all of my children, I said, look, you have been baptized, you have been received communion, and you have been confirmed. As a teenager, you were confirmed as a Christian. But you make the decision in your life because God wants you to decide. He's given us the ability to make decisions. And I told all my kids, I said, if you meet a woman or you meet a man that's of a different faith and they want you to convert to that faith, that's okay with me. I said, because it's your decision what you do at that point. And a couple of them have converted to other religions. But all of them are in the Christian religion. And I look at the Christian religion as all religions under one religion, because that is the way it started. God started with his 12 apostles, and when they went out and talked to different people, they found that they all didn't want to worship the same way, and that was okay. But God wanted them to follow the basics of his teachings, and that's what I've tried to do, and that's how I raise my children. Are they all that way? No, absolutely not, because we're all different. But they have the basics that they need to make those decisions. They're on their own. And so that's how it works. Does that sound like something you understand and believe in, Mary?
Yes, I do. I know growing up, my grandma was Catholic, and she stopped going to physical church and would watch church on TV. And so, yeah. You know, we struggled for a long time when I moved to where I live now, because it's a very small town, but we have a lot of churches. But it was hard for us to find a church that would accept my kids. And we went to different religions, and we finally found one. It's a Christian-based church. And I brought, when we first started going, I'd bring one kid at a time to get them used to the environment. And I brought my son in, and we sat, and it's a small congregation. It's only like 10, 15 people on a good day, which is fine because it gets them used to the environment without all the noise and all the people. And, you know, what blew my mind was he had gotten overwhelmed and needed a break, and so he wanted to go home. And the church is only a couple blocks from my house. And when I came back the following Sunday, because he decided he needed to stay home because he was having a bad morning, the pastor, the first thing she did when I walked in the door was goes, what can we do to make it better for him so he is comfortable in the church? And I just stood there looking at her. I'm like, huh? No one's ever asked me that before.
Yep.
And so, you know, from then on, we go to that church on a regular basis just because of how understanding they are.
Yep. You know, the church and the mindset in a particular church is very important in the development of a child's understanding of religion and their understanding of the relationship that we have to develop with God Almighty. And different churches have different views on that, and different churches, and a lot of that is because the minister, head minister in the church, sets the tone for that church, and sets the views, tries to help people to go by what he thinks is right, and that's to me where where the man, the human being aspect of it, interferes with God's aspect of the belief in God and the belief in way a person should worship. And I think there's sometimes a tremendous spread between what the human being minister thinks versus what God thinks. And so I think I've always told my children that be careful when you choose a church, because you want to be in a church that, first of all, believes in God, and secondly, worships God as their Savior. And I said, and if it's a Jewish church or a Jewish congregation, or if it's a whatever it is, Protestant or Catholic or whatever, I said, just be careful when you choose a church and check it out really close. And so they have done that. My one son invited me yesterday to come to a Christian concert in his church. His church has concerts all the time. And but his church is a very active church and a very much growing and growing in size and number of people involved in the church. And we're going to go to that concert that's tomorrow night, and it's done in a place called the State Theater in Easton, Pennsylvania. But I have been to a service with my son in that church, and I was very impressed. I'm very impressed with how the minister was serving the people, and he was serving God as well. He was serving God first and serving the people, and I think that's so very important for a church. And it's obvious that the people are responding because it's growing. It's growing by leaps and bounds, that church. So and it's growing predominantly with younger people in their teens and early 20s and early 30s. In that area, and that's important. That kind of growth is very important in the church, because a lot of older people are set in their ways, and you can't develop a congregation if you're not a little bit flexible. And I mean, we all have to believe in God, of course, but you have to be a little flexible with people, because not all people are the same. They're different. And I see that church that my son goes to, and I encourage him to continue with it. And he's very active in it, and so I'm proud of him in that regard. Most of my other children are go to Roman Catholic churches, and they follow the steps of the Roman Catholic, and many of my, just about all of my grandchildren have been going to the Catholic Church and getting the sacraments that the church requires, like baptism and First Communion and confirmation and those kinds of things. And they encourage, the Catholic Church encourages all of the people to be involved in the church. And that doesn't mean just come and sit in the pew and sing the songs and go through the process, but it means being involved in the ministries in the church. We have many ministries in the Catholic Church. I'm a minister of the Word. I'm a minister of the Eucharist, being a lay person that hands out the Holy Communion to people, and was involved in the RCIA, which is the rite of Christian initiation in the church for adults, and so I was involved in that program, and I've been involved in the Knights of Columbus, which is another organization in our church, and many, many other organizations, and I believe that that's important. And I've stressed that to my children, that's very important also, is not only being a member of a church and receiving the sacraments from that church, but also being involved in it. It's like starting up a business. To start up a business, you can't just talk about the business and get anything accomplished. You have to get involved in the business. You have to take the steps that are necessary to get customers, to people that you need to help you with the business. To, you know, you have to take the action steps in order to get it done. And that's something I encourage families, not only my own family, but other families as well, is to get their children involved. We have in my church, we have a weekly newsletter that we hand out at the end of the service. And they were, for a long time, only adults were doing that. Well, I talked to the pastor and I said, look, I think in order to get some of the children more involved, we should have them do that. And so we did. We tried it for a while and it worked out great. The people really responded to it. And then the children responded to it also, because it was something that they could do instead of just going into the church and sitting there and listening. They could be involved in helping out in the church. And many of them that started out doing that got involved in other things. So they became servers that served the priest during the service, and they did other things as well. Readers, they would learn to read the scriptures during the service. And so those kinds of things many times start out with a little thing like giving them a group of pamphlets to hand out at the end of the service. So many of them also moved into helping out, taking the collection during the service, because we do that in every service. We have take up a collection. And they got involved in that, and many of them have proceeded further into other things. So that's just something that I don't know why that came to my mind when I was younger in the church, but I ended up doing a lot of those things myself, getting involved. And I don't think my family encouraged me to do that. I think maybe the pastor encouraged me to do it, or maybe some of my friends that were doing those kinds of things encouraged me to do that. So it doesn't necessarily just come from one person. It can come from many people that we associate with in our lives. So anyway, I got off the track there. But I was still talking about family, and that's what was important with this particular radio show, as we have the family unit. Anything you want to add to that, Mary?
During the holiday season, remember to unplug, unwind, and just spend time with your family. Even if you can't see them because of the weather or, you know, financial, call them.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, it's just, you know, we forget about everybody else and get so wrapped up in what we're doing. And I get guilty of that at times too. And just stopping and unplugging and unwinding and just spending time with each other.
Yep.
And you know, I have good news.
What's the good news?
In about an hour, our notification, you can, our sign-up forms are done, will be done. I'm just finishing them up. So you can sign up for text message alerts before or after the show to know where to listen to it after the show, or reminders of before the show starts, and signing up for the monthly newsletter for the shows that are coming up.
Excellent. So you can sign up for those things. How does one sign up for those things?
You can either go to our Facebook page, which is Optimize My Life, but it'll also be link to the radio show. So when you go into the onto our show, you'll see that see it there. And
great.
It'll be available
great.
On every format for podcasts. Be everywhere.
Wow. That is great. And when's that available, you said?
In about 2 hours. I'm just finishing it up right now.
Oh, great. Great. I'm going to have to try that out. That's
I will
great.
Send you the link.
Thank you, Mary, for everything you do. I just can't say that enough because you're doing so many wonderful things to make it easier and better for all of us, and to keep the communications going. That's so important, like the newsletter and other things. Absolutely
mm-hmm.
wonderful.
And then there'll be, you know, updates about different topics for different shows. And Monday, we're starting out with a new program on Mondays. It's going to be Hometown Heroes. And heroes, not all heroes wear capes. And we're going to focus on the Kindness Club and the Kindness Challenge. And so every Monday, we're going to start off on a real high note. And we're going to issue
wow.
challenges of random acts of kindness so that you can call in on Friday with Len Kane and talk about what you did that week.
Wow, that's great.
And so Monday, our first special guest will be Ariana, my daughter, and she can explain her program.
Oh, great, great, great. You know, you, I can tell you're the type of person that, first of all, you're someone who not only talks about doing something, but gets it done, takes the action necessary to get it done. Many people don't understand that that's something that's so important. When you have a goal or you have a dream, whatever it is, you need to take the necessary steps to make it happen. And some people just don't understand because they get set in their rut. What we call a rut, where you have done things for a certain way for a long time, and then you continue. Like you get up in the morning, you do the things to get ready to go to work. You hop in your car, drive to work, or you hop on the bus, and get to work, and whatever it is, and then you do the same things at work. Now, whether you like it or not, you still continue to do that because that's habits that you've developed. Well, one of the things that Dr. Joel Griffin used to always talk to about was helping people to rehab their habits, and it was sort of a rehabilitation on changing.
Mm-hmm.
If they want to change their life, they need to change some of the things that they're doing that they don't like. And you need to take the necessary steps to make that happen. And that's one of the things that I look at as a life coach, to have the ability to be able to help people do that. Help them to understand and recognize the fact that if they want to make changes in their life, they're going to have to take some steps to make that happen and to take action to make it happen. And we help them with how to – what steps to take. You know, go ahead, Mary. I'm sorry.
The biggest misconception with that is everyone thinks it's a fear of failure. But in the way that everything is done these days, it's not. It's the fear of succeeding in what you're doing. You know, when I first started my business and started, you know, doing everything, the first questions people asked me was, what happens if you fail? It's like, really? Because I'm just starting this, and you're not even starting in a positive note. Let's start off negatively, thinking we're going to fail.
Yep.
And that's because we're wired to accept failure and not success. And I, you know, teach my kids that it's not about succeeding or failure. It's just you haven't learned the right steps to do it yet.
Yep.
No matter how
yep.
many times you
yep.
bang your head on the wall doing the wrong thing, eventually you're going to figure out the right path and the right way to do it.
Yep. Yep. You're absolutely right. You got to, I always tell people, you got to get started. You can't accomplish anything unless you get started. And then I help them, if they want to, they can lay out a plan for themselves on how to get started and what to do next and what to do next and what to do next. Or you can lay out a plan for them and then get their agreement that that's a plan that they should follow. And I think that's so important too, is doing that. Planning and then taking steps to action steps to make that plan work. So I've done a lot of work in developing business plans over the years. And business plans are so important in setting up a business and getting started. And in a business plan, you got all kinds of things you have to consider. How much funding are you going to have available for the business? How are you going to use that funding? What are the important areas? What kind of products are you going to have, or what kind of services are you going to offer? You know, all those various things have to be considered. And how long do you expect to do that? How much time do you think it'll take to get started? How much time do you think it'll take to start making some money? And all those kinds of things are important in a business plan. And by the way, those are required by the Internal Revenue Service. A lot of people don't know that. Do you have a board of directors, or do you have some people that are going to be assisting you in the business? You know, and are you going to have employees? All of that's gonna. What kind of communication tools do you need? You know, so many different things that you have to consider when developing a business. I've developed what's called a business case over the years. And a business case is another important, that's just actually one aspect of a business plan, is having a business case. Because the business case lays it out over time in what your expenditures are, what your incomes are going to be, and what your profitability is going to be, and all those kinds of things are covered in a business plan. And those are important aspects of developing a business also. And I think you're aware of that because you know business, right, Mary?
Yeah. I'm actually changing my center, my developmental center, from a profit organization to a non-for-profit organization, which takes a little bit more work, but...
Yep. That's absolutely right. Well, you know, we're just about out of time. Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I was just going to steal a chapter from Rick Reese, who does the Tuesday show. And, you know, I'm turning it into the new motto for the radio show. And it's, where's hope, there's freedom. And the show, Monday through Friday, day and night, gives you hope. And
yep.
Tools to take that hope to offer the freedom that you need for the next level.
Yep. Amen to that. Mm. Developing hope is one of the first steps in creating belief and faith in yourself and in others. And I think that's so important too. Is helping people to understand that you don't just jump into it and you gotta do some little bit of planning in the beginning. And if you don't have any business experience, then you gotta get some help from somebody else that has business experience that can help you to go through or define, first of all, the steps that you have to take. And develop a plan. It doesn't have to be an elaborate plan, but it has to be a plan with various steps that you have to go through to make it work. I know that all makes sense, right?
It does.
And eventually it will make our sense. We're about out of time. I want to thank you, Mary, for your help And I see your friend came on, and I'm sorry I haven't announced you or anything yet, but welcome to the show again, and maybe we'll talk to you on Monday on that show, when Mary has her show on Monday. So God bless you, Mary, and your family, and God bless everyone that's listening, and God bless America. And I thank you all for participating. And this is Bob Oakley, and I'm signing off for the radio show today. And I just want to remind people that the show is broadcast practically every day of the week now, and it's and sometimes it's in the morning, sometimes it's in the evening, but most of the time the radio show, in fact all the time, the radio show is done from 12 noon to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And the number to reach the show is 714-816-4686. That's 714-816-4686. God bless you all, and you all have a great day, and Merry Christmas, everybody.
You too.
Thank you, Mary.
Everyone have a great day.
Bye, Overton.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.